verse 12. If you're there, give me a good amen.
Amen.
He says, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. He says in verse number 15, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be the dead do not rise. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, you're yet in your sins. Well, I'm glad that's not the case. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now as Christ risen from the dead, we become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. Let's skip on down, if we may, just for a little bit, down to the verse that talks about victory that we have in Christ. Look in verse 51. Behold, I show you the mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Amen. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Amen. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God tonight, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let us pray. Father, we ask that you will bless the service, wash and cleanse the messenger tonight. I pray, Father, that you help me to preach, Lord. Just take over and do your thing, Lord. Help us to be obedient. Help us to be happy in Christ, Lord, for the victory that we have in Jesus. Help us, Lord, to rejoice in that victory and have confidence in what you've done and what you're going to do. In Jesus we pray. Amen. You may be seated this evening. Notice that the word victory is used in this passage. I was going through my alphabets, my alphabet singular, but looking at all my letters, we're preaching the ABCs of the Christian life on Wednesday nights. And we started off with A is for assurance, then we moved to B is for the Bible, C is for church, D is for discipleship, and all the way now we're on the last few letters of the alphabet. Praise God, we have come a long way. That's a lot of preaching, a lot of Bible reading, a lot of studying. We've just looked at 23 important doctrines, if you would, important foundational truths to the Christian life. You say, what are the basics of being a Christian and a follower and a believer and all this stuff? I have tried to give you what I thought would be just some basic, fundamental ABCs of the Christian life. And I looked tonight at the letter V and I thought, Lord, what would we be able to say? Should we talk about valleys? Should we emphasize the fact that we're all going to go through the valley? We're going to, from time to time, experience the valley of the shadow of death. Maybe, Lord, you'd like for me to encourage the people, like we spoke on temptation. Everybody's going to stump their toe in the Christian life a few times and slam their finger in the door sometimes against their own selves and be subverted in their own minds a time or two and backslide on the Lord and go through dark places and even going through dark valleys and question the love of their Heavenly Father. Lord, do I need to speak on that? And the Lord said, I want you to preach on victory. I want you to tell the church the victory that I have purchased for them in my own blood. I want you to remind the Christian church that there is victory in Jesus. We don't just sing about it at the Baptist church. We preach about it at the Baptist church. The Bible is not something that we just sing about. It is a song of salvation. It is something that we stand in. It's something that we have hope in. Tonight you have victory in Christ. Not based upon what you have done, but based upon what He has done. Oh, death, thou mighty, mighty cruel master. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Woo! Yeah. Praise God. Amen. He flies around like a wild hornet, but the devil, but God took his stinger out, amen. Death flies around and whispers, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to sting you, I'm going to take your life, and you can listen to that all you want, but the Holy Spirit has done wrong the devil and robbed death of its sting. He's taken it out. It's just a passing through, amen. Brother Lee, when death comes knocking on my door, I'm not going to look at a grim reaper, hallelujah. I'm going to look in the eyes of my Savior, who bled and died for my sins, who's gone to heaven to prepare a place for me. My sanctification will be complete. My joy will be eternal. My dwelling place will be made in gold. I'll have a new glorified body. All the sins and temptations that I struggle with in this old life will all pass away. Amen. For He's made all things new.
That's right.
I'm not looking to die tonight, so I don't misunderstand it. But I want you to know God has done took the stinger out of death's sting. Amen. The child of God. He has the victory. Somebody says, well, what is their victory? We sing about that, don't we? Victory in Jesus. What does that even mean? What does it mean? Let me first of all state some things that we know. This is what we know. There are some things that I don't know. I don't know all the details. I can't answer all questions that say, why do bad things happen to good people? And likewise, why do good things happen to bad people? Right. Sometimes I don't have all the answers. Now, I can try to point people to the Word of God because the Word of God never changes. It's guided many of pilgrims throughout this life, praise the Lord. There's been many a ships that have been tossed to and fro, but the Bible is a wonderful compass that will get us through to where we're supposed to go. Will you go through a hardship? Will some of your carriage get overloaded? Will there be a time or two where you're not like the shipmates that you're in the boat with? Yes, there will be, but if you'll stay on board and you'll follow the directions, amen, Sister Andrew, if you'll follow that pattern like you was talking about in that workers' meeting tonight, if we'll follow the pattern, God will get the ship exactly to that haven of rest when it's time for us to get off the boat, amen. This is what we know. That when Jesus entered this world 2,000 years ago, He conquered sin and Satan. We just know that. We have divine record keeping. God has given us His Word, and He's given us more than one witness. We have four gospel records. Let everything be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. God said, I'm going to give you four witnesses, and I'm going to make sure it's superintended by the Holy Spirit. We have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and we have churches thousands of miles away proving the universality of the Christian faith, proving the universality for that universal offering and atonement that was made for those that would place their faith in Christ, whosoever they may be. This is what we know. When Jesus entered into the world, he faced Satan. Right out of the gate, Satan wanted him snuffed out and killed and slaughtered and cast and aborted. But God had bigger plans for Jesus than that. In God's wisdom, oversaw the destructive devices of Satan, Brother Kevin. Every time Satan tried to trip up Christ, Christ remained faithful to the Lord God Almighty. When Jesus was on the wilderness, tempted of the devil, 40 days and 40 nights, having no food, the Bible says, Satan come hunting down and tried to get him to break the law of God. And he tempted Christ with sin. And he tempted Christ with pride. And he tempted Christ with the lust of the eyes, and the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. At every point in which Satan tempts you tonight, he attacked the Lord Jesus Christ and hopes that he might destroy it. And all through the public life and ministry of Jesus, Satan was nipping at his heels trying to trip him up. When Christ was moving forward, Satan was chasing him from behind. And when Christ was walking this way, he was chasing him from before. He was above and he was below and he was on all sides. But Jesus has victory tonight. Satan does not conquer the Lord Jesus in any way. He is victorious over sin and Satan.
Right.
Can of Pepsi before I come to church tonight. Maybe that's what it is. Or it could just be we need to have a reality check.
Right.
This is what we know.
Amen.
Sin and Satan have been conquered by Jesus Christ.
Right.
He is a defeated foe.
Right.
I'm telling you, sometimes we look at the devil and think, how can anybody overcome you? You've been a great Alexander the Great, a tyrant over the minds of many others. And many of fathers you have abandoned their faith and caused them to make shipwreck of their lives. And many of young boys you have perverted and twisted to live for the flesh of the devil. You have got many of young ladies out of the church to walk the streets of debauchery and prostitution of immorality. But I want you to know he did not get victory of Jesus. Jesus conquered is just what we know. Not only this, Jesus also conquered the world.
Right.
Now, I'm not just talking about the planet Earth. I'm talking about the world of man, the system that we have, that's the world, the people. All forces. Jesus told his disciples, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world.
Amen.
You're going to have a trial. You're going to have tribulations. There's going to be some things that the old devil, that old dragon, that subtle serpent, he's going to try to silver tongue his way against you, Christian. And he's going to try to suggest thoughts to you that would actually lead you away from doing what is right. Why, he'll try to stumble up right with you. He'll try to say smooth things, unoffensive things, tasteful things, and suggestive things, seducing the minds of those that would live for God. Satan is clever tonight, and he knows exactly whose ear he can tickle, and he knows who will and will not work against. But I want you to know, child of God, that he did not get victory over Jesus. Jesus conquered the devil and sin. And I want you to know another thing. Jesus conquered the world.
you think you are. Jesus, in so many words, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Savior and the Messiah, stood there and said, if you only knew who I was.
Right.
He said in so many words, you think you're some big shot, but I tell you, if it wasn't for me, 12 legions of angels, 72,000 mighty angels with flaming swords would come down here and deliver me from your wicked hands.
Right.
He said, my kingdom is not of this world.
Right. Right.
And Christ, however the world may laugh and make fun of him and cast his name among the dust of the ground with a shirt, wicked men coming up with their evil devices and name callings against our Lord and against the Christian faith. They don't understand what he did, but I want you to know that this is what we know. The world was jeering at him and gnashing upon him as wolves against the darling Lamb of God. When the Lamb did not open his mouth, he was as a dumb sheep before the shearer is silent. He marched faithfully up to the cross of Calvary, down to the inaugural side, and he laid his arms out before the Roman soldiers, and he said, put the nail here, and he said, put the nail here, and he said, put one in my feet. And when he was lifted up and raised upon the mother earth and dropped into the heart of the earth, my friends, he was dying to pay for the sins of the world. He was buried, and on the third day, Brother Kevin, my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ rose again victorious over this whole world. He ascended up into heaven. He called disciples and gave gifts unto men, the Bible says. Evangelists, apostles, and prophets, and pastors, and teachers. He gave gifts unto men. And the last image we have of Jesus Christ is him speaking to 500 souls on the countryside. And he was lifted up into the clouds, and they saw his hands, the piercing in his hands as he ascended in blessings. That was the last image we have of Jesus giving his blessings on his followers. Who is victorious tonight? This is what we know. Jesus has overcome the world. The world thought they overcome him. But Jesus has overcome the world. And it's going to be clearly evident when he comes back who really is in control. This is something else that we know. Jesus has conquered death and hell. You see, Satan used to carry an old keychain on his hip. The keys of death, the keys of hell. I don't take that literally. I don't think Satan walks around with keys. But I think it's symbolic language that Christ has these keys. Whoever has keys has the authority. Now, if it's literal, fine. I stand corrected. It doesn't make any difference. He has the keys of death and hell.
Right.
Amen. I believe that with my heart. But I will tell you this. Every man, every woman, every person ever born from our first parents, red, yellow, black, or white, we have all descended from one man and one woman, Father Adam and Mother Eve. Everyone has lived until their appointed time, and they give the slow funeral march to their graves. We are all appointed unto death, Brother John. Brother Kevin, isn't it a marvelous reality? Every person, no matter how much money they had or how little money they had, how many great things they own and how many little things they own, how beautiful they may have been or how disfigured they may have seemed to be, God has required it of man that they shall die once, and after this the judgment.
Right.
Death has had victory over men's lives, it would seem. Mr. Death has sat down at a sacred desk in hell, and he has awaited those that would come to the land of the dead. He has kept a long registry, Sister Casey, of those that would depart and come into the land of the damned, and those that would enter into hell. He has kept a long registry. He has kept every name to the jot and tittle, Brother Stewart. But one year, in the Lord Jesus Christ, day and age, somewhere around 33 B.C., Jesus conquered death out of the grave, and he took the keys. Amen.
Hallelujah. Death is not in control. Hell is not in control. God Almighty, through Jesus Christ, is in control.
Amen.
That's why when the believer dies, we have hope. That's why when you go to a believer's death, there are tears of sorrow, but there are also tears of great joy.
Amen.
We know that we say things like, we've sorrowed and we're happy to let you know of the homegoing of brother so-and-so. We're happy to let you know of the homegoing of sister so-and-so. The funeral arrangements will be held at such and such. And other things in the burial service will be held at such and such. We want to thank God for the glorious homegoing of brother so-and-so. The homegoing of sister so-and-so. Death is not the end of the road. It's just a bend in the road for the child of God. Death is not the back door, my friend. It is the ladder by which we climb to get to the lunar world. It is through death our sanctification is complete. Amen. All of the troubles of this life and the spirit, they'll all pass away when we die and meet the Lord. All these anxieties and burdens that we carry and all of the problems that we face in our minds, it'll all pass away to the child of God. This is what we know. Jesus has a victory over sin and Satan. Jesus has victory. Complete, final, authoritative, decisive, irreversible victory. Reversible victory, Brother Spirit. He ain't going to be upset. Huh? He's already won. Y'all getting this, Brother? Brother Joe, amen. He can't be upset. He's already won the victory. You can't beat him now. He's already passed the test. Hallelujah. It's already fought. The battle between good and evil has already been decided. I've read the back of the book, Christian.
Amen.
We come out on the top.
Right.
This is what we know. This is what we have. Christian, you can have victory over sin in your life.
Right.
Why? Because of what he's done.
Amen.
You can have victory over Satan every single day. You can win. Why? Because he did.
Amen.
Sometimes we think, I think the devil is in my marriage. Why can't I get the victory? You can. Because he already won it.
Right.
There is no weapon formed against you that shall be able to prosper.
Right.
Amen. We listen to the people walking around and ain't got no victory. And then we come to church and sing victory in Jesus. Why, we ought to be almost throwing hymn books and pitching babies around, amen. We ought to be swinging off of the chandeliers and slapping the reverend in the church, hallelujah. We ought to be having a time of shouting praise of the victory that is ours through Jesus Christ. But when we don't experience victory, it is because we are trying to take on the devil. Satan knows he can mess with me when my big brother is not around. He knows he can push me around, Sister Rissa. He can push me and make me fall and stumble. Oh. He knows he can throw me around like a little rag doll. But when I call on Jesus, oh, all of the demons in hell begin to appear and tremble at the very mention of his name. When I'm by myself and I think, I don't need to talk to God for the next 24 hours. I don't need to go to church. Don't need to read the Bible. I just want to coast. The devil says, listen, boys. And push me around. And push me around. Oh, 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 I can't get victory. I can't beat. He's just down with me. I don't know. I'm mad at my wife. I'm mad at the church. I'm mad at the preacher. I'm mad at the church. Everything's going wrong. When I just stop and say, oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. devils fear and tremble.
That's right.
When God shows up, sin has to back off. When God shows up, you can say, get behind me, Satan. And Satan says, okay. Yes, that's right. You say you're talking to some magic formula. Honey, you can go and put a cross all over your house, but you cannot have Jesus and have crosses all over your house. Right. You know I'm telling it right, but you may not even have a cross or crucifix symbol in your house, but you've got Jesus right here in your heart, and that's all that is required to keep the old devil away, amen.
Right.
Is he going to try to shoot you? Yeah, but he'll do drive-bys. He ain't going to want to stop too long because he knows who's in the house with you.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
He'll just kind of give you a little suggestion on here and there and try to incite evil and get you to sin. He'll just do a quick drive-by. He don't want to stick around for too long because he knows who's in the house. I'm telling you, David, anything in and of ourselves, it's only through Jesus Christ. This is what we can have because of what he's already done. We can have victory over sin and Satan. Let me continue. We can have victory over the world.
Right.
What did the beloved apostle say? And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith. Read it in the book of 1 John. And this is the victory which overcometh the world, even your faith. And we don't take our faith very seriously like we should. And that's the very weapon God has equipped you to overcome this world. Your faith. Your trust and confidence and belief in God. I was speaking on a live stream there yesterday or the day before. I was reading from the 37th Psalm where David was talking about, don't fret yourself. Don't get mad and envious. Because everybody that is ungodly seems to be prosperous and have everything. And you don't have hardly anything. Why do we do that? It's just human nature. We see them have, we think, God, why do these wicked people prosper so good? They seem like they have everything their hearts could desire and more. And here I am and I'm just eating out of a Campbell's soup can. Praise God for being in making soup. I'll have that in there. Thank you, Lord. Don't take that away. But sometimes we do things like that. God, why do they get that? And they don't even love you. Don't even say prayers. In fact, they curse you and take your name in vain. Y'all listen to this meeting? And I gave that Bible lesson on that broadcast. And a fellow that I never thought would ever communicate to me of anything of a positive nature from my high school. He got on later on and he said, and you can read it. He said, Nathan, after I watched this, which I did not know, God was leading him to watch that. He said, after I watched that, I placed my faith in God. He said, I said a little prayer. And then later on in the day, I got a phone call from a job that God has provided for me that would open up tremendous doors of opportunity. And I thought, that's awesome. God, you're amazing how you timed that out in your own timing. What is your victory? It's your faith. Your faith is your victory, Christian.
Amen.
Your faith. When I try to do something every night, this may not be understood, this is something that I do to keep my faith strong. I try to pray.
Amen.
I try to pray frequently. Frequently to me is 3 times, 4 times a day. Frequently to you, just maybe 1 time. I don't know where you're at in your stage in life. But prayer is essential, amen?
Right.
Now, I'll go to bed. Before I go to bed, I got a collection of sermons. One of them is several volumes by Charles Spurgeon. And believe it or not, I'll open one of them books, Brother Stewart, and I will read a whole sermon. I'll sit there and read it. Man, I'll just cry. I'll laugh. I'll smile. I'll say, Angie, listen to this. She said, I don't want to listen to that. You always talk about this stuff. Give it a break. And it, for me, I got to have it, man. I got to eat constantly. Amen, Brother Joe? I got to constantly eat something spiritual. My stomach growls. I get irritated when I'm not fed. So I sit on there. It's like drinking a warm glass of milk before bed. Amen. But I'll tell you this, when I'm not reading up on the things of God, and I'm not listening to spiritual music, and I'm not listening to spiritual things, and I'm listening to worldly things too much, guess what happens? My faith was up here, and I felt like I could move mountains and win souls and do all kinds of charge hell with a squirt gun. Now I come all the way down here to the bottom. I even wonder if I'm even saved.
That's right.
You see how that happens? As long as you stay down at the low levels, Satan ain't worried about you.
That's right. That's what he wants.
But when you start to get irritated and that holy vengeance that comes in, you have that godly sorrow, that repentance, you're starting to activate faith. Amen. And you're going to start seeing God take you to places of victory that you've never been to before in your life. You can have it because He's already won it.
Right.
Amen. We have victory. Thanks be unto God for the victory, he said. Thanks be unto God for the victory we have in Christ Jesus, he said. Over sin, Satan, over this world, and lastly, over death and hell. We have victory now. You are an overcomer.
Right.
No weapon formed against you shall be able to prosper. You're in the palm of God's hand.
Right.
No man shall be able to pluck you out of his hand. What shall separate us from the love of God? Shall height, shall depth, shall angels, power, principality? He said, nothing shall be able to separate you from the love of God.
Yeah.
Friend, you are put in heavenly places, the Bible says. You are seated already in heavenly places, Brother Lee. I know I don't look like much, but brother, you and I are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Our riches are in glory, brother. When we get to heaven, we're going to look around and say, I told you, world, y'all was acting a fool and didn't listen. Look at this street, brother. It's made of such pure gold, it's clear. You can't get there on this earth. But we try to tell you. If we try to warn you. If we try to show you. If we try to lead you. But look at what God's done in my life. When I get to heaven, we're going to show the world all the victory
Amen. That
we have had. Why can't we show it now? This is what we know, and this is what we have. You can have victory tonight. You can. When I was a teenager, I would think, I'm always going to deal with this. I'm always going to deal with this. I'm always going to deal with this. Now, God used things to make me stronger. He used situations and trials and circumstances to get my attention on Him, to make me stronger in my Christian life, personally, in my faith towards God. And maybe you're going through something tonight, Christian, and you come to church. Maybe you're off beat, you're out of sync, you're off rhythm. I don't know. That's why we come to church.
Right. Amen.
We can encourage each other. You say, preacher, man, you're wild and crazy. I know you don't have to be wild and crazy like me. You don't. I sweat and hoop and holler, and I spit when I preach, and that's not even ethical. I understand that. I understand all those things. I'm not telling you to be emotional or anything like that. What I'm telling you is, I don't know what Satan has told you, but this is what we know.
Right.
This is what we can have.
Man.
We must have it in this world. And we've got to give it to those who need it. But thanks be unto God who giveth us the victory through Christ Jesus our Lord. What are you praying about? What burden have you been carrying? What trial or circumstances weighs heavy on your heart? What has caused you to cry? What has caused you to plead with God? Friend, you can have victory tonight.
Right.
God does not always calm the storm when we tell Him, Lord, calm the storm. But He knows how to calm the saint to get him or her through that storm.
Amen.
In the midst of it. What doesn't kill you makes you what? Stronger. As your pastor, I'm telling you, this is what we know. This is what we can have through Christ Jesus. Victory over arch enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil, but Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. God's good.
Amen.
He's met and provided all of our needs according to His riches and glory through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Let's stand to our feet.